Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat. I am Laurie Lawson, and anyone who listens knows I have a fantastic co-host, and his name is...
Thank you, Laurie. Bernie Siegel here calling in from Greenwich Village.
All right, and we have a guest from New York City, so we are all city-bound today. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat, and then I'll tell you about our guest. At Coach Chat, we believe if you change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this show for coaches and for those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And I think we have one today that's going to even maybe take it a little further, and that is Coach Pete Carpaccio. Pete, how you doing?
So good, and so glad to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Pete. I'm not going to tell you everything because we'll just take the whole show up with that. But he has over 20 years' experience in high-tech companies, and 8 years in a nonprofit charity serving disadvantaged adults. His experience runs the gamut from launching solo businesses to brokering multi-million dollar deals with global brands such as Dell, Aetna, Microsoft, and Salesforce. He's a certified coach, a consultant, and a mentor who works with leaders to find their sweet spot and accelerate their performance. His clients often comment on his skilled balance of inspiring inspiring encouragement, and no BS tough love. So we're dying to get started and find out how we can do all this too. So Bernie, take it away.
Wow. So you have a really interesting background, and we have some similarities. I was also involved in startup companies and venture capital, many years ago. And we always find that our listeners like to know something about how our guests got to where they are today. A couple of minutes, maybe you could just let us know just a little bit of your background and how you got to become the coach you are right now.
Sure. So I think I've always been fascinated in, how people tick and the variety of talents and personalities and what goes into making someone the way they are. And in my startup organizations, I would often have this kind of instinctive ability to kind of see what role someone might do best in after I got to know them. And so that was just kind of always just in the back of my mind. And then the other thing I saw in startup companies was the issues of whether they were going to fail or succeed rarely were about the mechanics of the company. It wasn't so much about so much the idea or, execution is important, but it was a lot more about leadership and the people dynamics. And coming from a tech background, and I have an engineering degree, engineers tend to think technology is the most important thing. That's why we went into our careers. But as when I was finding out in these organizations, it really was much more about leadership capacity and people issues. So after 22 years in the high-tech space, I said, these things, I feel strongly about them. I have a lot of insight into them. A couple of people encouraged me to really check out coaching. I said, I'm going to go for it. And I just love now being able to take those insights, being able to help people find their fit and get just better understanding on who they really are, how they're wired, and help them get in touch with their desires of what they really want to do. And then for leaders, to really help them understand their leadership style. There is no one, like, you're a good leader or you're a bad leader. It's what style of leadership do you have? How can you bring that to bear in your organization? And what are going to be some of the intrinsic needs that you have with your style? Because no one style is complete and they can't accomplish everything. So I like to help people understand you know, where they fit and what else is going to be needed for success.
I love what you just said. Are you saying that rather than are you a leader, what's your style of leadership? Are you saying everybody has leadership capacity?
If you define leadership, as I do, as influence, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has influence. A stay-at-home mom has huge influence, right? And, you know, and if you're a worker bee and maybe you don't even have people that report to you, but you have peers, you can always be a leader by example, okay? So everyone does have leadership capacity. The question is really, do you embrace it, and are you being intentional with that?
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
That's interesting. Pete, who would you say, just to start off with, who would you say is your, like, ideal client? And what is it that, for you, that you would like to do work with them on?
Okay, so currently my ideal client is probably somebody who's either heading up an organization or in a senior management or executive leadership role. And what I like to do with them is to help them get clarity on their values of what drives them. And when I say values, that's not necessarily moral values, although that certainly could be included. But in particular do they find important, and what constitutes a win for them personally? You'd be surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't be, but I'm frequently surprised how far people get in their careers without asking themselves those kind of questions. And they're very important because they help to steer their some of their bigger decisions. I also like to help them understand their unique wiring. So I use some assessments, like the Clifton StrengthsFinder is a one that I'm certified in. And then, you know, in the midst of some of that, I don't say that's theoretical, but it's kind of high level. In the midst of all that, they're dealing with real issues on a regular basis. And so we talk about the real issues they're facing, and we take a coach approach to that. In other words, you know, I'm not necessarily consult. There's times when I will consult, and I'll be real clear about that. And I'll say, I'm not coaching right now. I'm consulting, and I'm telling you, you know, this is what I dealt with. But usually we try to coach and pull out of them what they know to be, you know, or using what they do know, so they can make a decision and get some clarity on that.
Well, besides gut instinct, you can't discount that, that's invaluable. What other things do you do to ascertain exactly what kind of leadership they could excel at?
Okay, so in general, I have this five different aspects, and I define those by questions or things that you should ask. So I'd say the first thing is you should ask those around you. Okay, so we've all heard of the concept of having a blind spot, right? Like, and it's usually associated with something negative, but our blind spots are also things that are very positive in our lives too. It's just we're so used to it and things come easily to us that we tend to discount those or not value them. So when I work with a leader, that's one of the things I'm going to have them do. I have a little inventory that they need to go ask some of their peers. Most of the people here might be familiar with a 360 review, which would be something that you ask your superiors, your peers, and the people who report to you, to give you candid feedback. But this can be family and friends as well, is tell me, you know, some of the areas that you think I excel at. And when you start to see patterns from multiple people, that's a huge clue to the areas where you tend to bring the most value and or where you're the strongest. So that's really, really valuable, is feedback from other people. I also say ask your history. So that's and we've got a method where I work with my clients to hack, so to speak, their history of points where they felt successful in the past and where they brought leadership in the path and had certain wins. And then we trace commonality through those stories. Like, oh, do you realize when you were in this situation over and over again, that's when you did your best? Or it could come out a lot of different ways. You tend to do best when there's a lot of ambiguity and you're able to step up and lead other people. It could be a lot of different situations like that. The third thing I say ask is I say ask science, and that's when we'll use any of the well-vetted assessment tools, okay, like, Myers-Briggs personality type indicator. I tend to like the Gallup-Clifton strengths assessment. There's many of them out there, but going through those thoroughly and getting coached through those so you can really unpack them and really apply it can bring a lot of insight to someone and help them understand their leadership style. Fourth, I say ask a professional, so someone like a professional coach who's got experience and can get them through a lot faster is really invaluable. When I say that, I think some of these things you could learn on your own through some self-coaching. And I'm really thankful for all the books that are out there. And a lot of times my clients will say, hey, have you read this book? Have you read this? Because they're so interested in personal development. And I think that's great. But the thing a coach can do for you is speed that process up and really rapidly accelerate the learning curve. So that's what I tell my clients. And then the fifth thing I say is ask God. Which is taking a spiritual approach, which is, gets to more existential issues like, why was I born? With all the billions of people on the planet and I'm so unique, what's my purpose? And have taking that angle and that approach also yields some additional information. All these combined, all these ask questions, then a picture starts to emerge. And it's not slotting them into a certain type of leader. It's you've just defined a category of one, and it's you. And it's this is the way when I lead, this is the way I prefer to lead, and this is the kind of effects that I have when I do lead.
Hmm. Wow, very comprehensive. Thank you.
Yeah, so Pete, the studies show that most people, when they're promoted into leadership roles, it's because of their technical skills, and many new leaders or managers have no leadership skills. And so what do you do, if anything, if you find out that your client maybe doesn't know, the basic leadership best practices, how to motivate, how to inspire people? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's true what you're saying. We try to hone down even further to find out where they're lacking and prioritize what we should work on first. And I've got a couple different approaches. One, I've got a client right now. He is very analytical and also very, I would say, probably confrontive in his approach. He's of Middle Eastern descent and is just used culturally. He's used to more of a challenge kind of dialogue, and he was experiencing some frustration. And so we've been going through emotional intelligence exercises through the Emotional Intelligence 2.0 book, which has been great. And I'll tell you, it's great. I've seen we've been coaching for about a year and a half now. After just 9 months, he just started seeing big changes and was getting feedback from his peers, his coworkers, that, we really like working with him now, and he's much, much easier to get along with. He feels like he's part of the team. So we'll identify and prioritize where those areas are and then just go to work, getting some exercise and working through it. Take some patience. And again, a coach can really help. I've actually, with that one client, I actually have sat in on some of his conference calls a couple of weeks ago, I watched one of his sales training presentations via remotely, right, to watch that and give them feedback. So it's not just, you know, what they're telling me. I actually get to observe and just give them tips. And, you know, I hear over and over from my clients, so they feel so grateful to have someone, quote unquote, in their corner, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have an ulterior motive, right? I'm there just for them. I'm solely focused on their success and having them grow as a leader. But it's very hard to find that in a corporate setting because everyone wants a piece of you in some way.
Yeah. Thanks.
And sometimes they're busy protecting their own little turf and they don't want to share at all. So, yeah, definitely. I'm so glad you mentioned cultural. And I'm wondering, I have someone who was on my show actually on the coaching game, and she was an expert in global female acceleration, so to speak. And the statistics are for females who make it to top management, 85% of them quit or leave. And I was astounded at first, and I went, well, you know what? That's what I did. So why am I astounding? So I'm wondering, how do you speak to cultural, gender, and age differences? And are there differences? Or can leadership be eked out of everyone equally? It's just you concentrate on different areas.
Well, Lori, I think I'll break that into two parts. Mm-hmm. Again, my approach is always, yes, you are a leader if you're bringing influence, and how will you bring that influence? How will you lead? The environment you're in, however, might have some very structured mm-hmm. rules, or more than rules, it could be just the way the game is played. And that, I think, can hurt people. They just might not fit in the right way, or it's rigged against them. That's where I think the rub is. And I do have some clients that have been in that situation as well, because I helped I help people with career transition. And, you know, the system or the man or whatever you want to call it has beaten them down. And I have to work with them to say, you know, no, you have a lot of value to bring, and let's figure out what that is so you can articulate it. Because one of the disconnects is if you allow your environment to set the parameters on how you define yourself. Okay, if you allow your environment to say you're valuable if you do this. Then you're beholden to your organization for your self-worth. Mm. But if you can flip that and say, no, I know who I am. This is who I am. This is what I have to bring. Hey, organization, I have a lot of value to bring, and I like your organization. Are we a good fit? And that's great, and we're going to move forward. That can be a great setting. But it's when people attach themselves to a corporate engine, and if it doesn't work out, then they can just feel devastated. And this gets into being having, you know, internal validation versus external. There's a lot that goes into this. I love doing it with people. I love helping them get in touch with why they have value, and then go find an organization that's worthy of you. If it didn't work out, right? If it didn't work out in another place. Sometimes they say, yeah, we used to, when we were younger, we used to say it was kind of a put down statement. We used to say, oh, you just think you're God's gift to the world, right? But now I'm telling you, as an adult, I think you are God's gift to the world. You just got to go find a place where you can flourish. You have a lot to offer, and there's a lot of people that you can help, and you can make the world a better place. We need to own that, right? And don't spend, you know, weeks, months, years slaving away where it's just not going to be a good fit.
Well, yeah. I love that. Thank you.
Oh, it brings up an issue that I was just thinking about as you're describing that, Pete, is that the people, only 99% of people, are probably averse to change for all the reasons that we, you know, hear about and read about. And I find the clients that may be miserable in their jobs, if I ask them, well, when did you know this wasn't right for you? They're 15, 20 years. And they'll say, oh, the first week, you know, the first month. And they're still there. Because they think they're maybe they're supposed to be miserable, and everyone around them is miserable. What I'm finding now, maybe it's anecdotal, but so many of my clients seem to be in toxic environments. There was all firings and layoffs and less resources, and this has been going on for, 20, 30 years. But now the economy has picked up, and they still don't have the resources. So it's creating a very toxic environment. What are you seeing out there in terms of, people in organizations?
Well, I don't know. Not too many of my clients. Some have. Some are really they're in fear. Some of my clients are. One of the things I'm trying to work with my leaders on, though, and they get really great results on this, is actually leading, and being the kind of leader you wish you had. Okay, the kind of leader that you wish was over you. Even if you don't have it, you can still be that leader to the people who are reporting to you or who you influence. This was really interesting. There was a survey done. There's these polls, what are the top 10 or top 50 companies to work for as ranked by the employees, right? Employee satisfaction. Well, they rounded all those up, and there was one factor that stuck out amongst all the other ones, and it wasn't, free breakfast or, unlimited time off. It was the number one thing was my company helps me understand my destiny. Okay. So it's the companies that can help an employee map their personal gifting, aspirations, and goals to the mission of the organization. And when you have that, that's a real powerful combination. And so that's another thing I work with my leaders on is there's a lot of junk flying around out there and a lot of toxicity. Shield your people from it the best you can. But the best thing you can do to keep your employees motivated, keep them engaged. And that's a big thing, right, is employee engagement, and especially with millennials. And now Gen Z, too, are also entering the workforce, right? It's real. They want a sense of purpose in what they're doing. Okay, how can you, get a better understanding of who your employee is and what motivates them, and then how can you help them map that to what you're trying to do as a company, so that they can find that kind of satisfaction.
Wow. Well, you know what? That brings up a question. The leaders that come to you or that you deal with, is it difficult to sell them on life purpose? And if so, how do you do that? Or are they coming to you because it's like, oh, I want my client, my employees to have life purpose? I can't imagine that scenario, but if they do, that's
no,
great.
No, it doesn't happen too often. but if I bring something like this up, it's and by the way, you can't stop the whole machinery of a company and say, well, we're gonna just everybody focus on life purpose right now. Now it's something more you work into your day-to-day management. And, there are certain exercises you can do. I mentioned Clifton Strengths a little while ago. We've taken that. I've done it with the individual leader, but then when they can get really turned on by this because it opens up a lot of insights. And then when they give it to the rest of their team, and what we'll do is we'll put the results up on a grid. And Clifton Strengths hit four different areas of talent. And when you can start to see which employee has the highest levels of different kinds of talents, all of a sudden there's this new appreciation for our differences. And what used to drive me crazy about somebody or really annoy me, oh, now I see why you're this person, whenever we have you know, whenever you have conflict, they're always like want to shut it down. Well, we found out that they have a talent for harmonizing, and that's actually a real talent. It's best used in certain settings. So that person has to mature in their talent, but also I now have an appreciation that when there's times I need harmony, guess what? I've got a difficult client call coming up. Can you get on my call with me? Because you can help smooth things over. Right. And so we'll see that kind of teamwork happening and a new level of appreciation. But the thing about that one assessment is it gives a common language that everyone can use and can start speaking it. And it's like, oh, I get it. And we really are a team and we really do need each other.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about also is that I was looking up today, how many jobs are there, full-time jobs in America? There's like 130, 140 million. The odds are that everyone's going to find to have a job that they love and fills their purpose is just absurd. It can't happen. But so many people spend so much time at work and think that's their life. But what do you do with people that can't find exactly their life purpose? Their work may not be their life purpose, but what about their other life when they leave work?
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit.
there's a couple strategies. If you haven't found that great fit, right, between what you really feel you were made to do and what you're doing on your job, there's a couple different approaches. And you, Bernie, I think you just started referencing one of them, and that is find activities outside of work that do line up with that, whether that's volunteering or, you know, something to do with the community or a hobby or getting together with other people that really help to activate that and help you feel fulfilled. That's certainly a reasonable approach. Other ones, though, require maybe a little bit more creativity, and that is, you know, to ask yourself the question, you have minimum job description requirements of what you have to do to get your job done, but the style that you personally bring to that job has a lot of leeway. For instance, if you really just love people and you love to serve people and you really kind of have more of a customer service orientation, but you're not in a customer service role and you might be in a real dry kind of a setting that doesn't have a lot of people contact, you know, what can you do? Well, you can take your approach, and when you do have encounters or engagements with your coworkers, start to view them like, oh, even though they're my coworker, they're right now I'm going to view them as my customer. How can I best help this person? How can I de-escalate them if they're worked up over something? How can I make sure they have a great experience? Right? And what else can I do in my work office environment to bring up the warmth level? Some people are just wired that way, right? And so in other words, take your job description and make it bend, the flexible part of it, make it bend more toward what you're doing. Now, the key on that is that you have clarity first on what your purpose is. But if you have that, there's a lot of room for creativity to make things work in your favor and to give you that sense of fulfillment. And was it the actual tasks you did? Well, maybe, maybe not. But it's the style of how you did that task and the way you went about it can bring a lot of fulfillment.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Well, I have two questions for you, but we only have a minute left, so I'll let you choose this one. What's I know how fast this went. What's the biggest challenge or what's the biggest improvement you've seen in today's leadership market? You pick whichever one you want.
I'd go with, I think I'd say challenge, and that is there's such a turnover right now with a lot of boomers, baby boomers, aging out, and the new millennial workforce coming in. Of course, Gen X is in there too, and Gen X is taking a lot of leadership roles. But there's a huge turnover happening, and there's not quite enough education to help them really take on the new challenges and the kinds of adjustments in today's workforce, they're different, right? What's required in leadership is not the same as it used to be when you and I were younger. So there's a lot of people getting thrown into new positions, but I don't want to say they don't have any clue, but they really need some mentoring and some handholding to really become great leaders. And I'd say that's the biggest challenge that I'm seeing right now.
Well, maybe they need a coach. Who knows? Let me tell you how you can get in touch with Pete. You can go to www.petecoaching.com. Couldn't be easier, and you're going to find a lot of fascinating things on his website. Thank you so much, Pete. You've been fantastic, and we need, like, Pete part two because we only touched the surface. Bernie, as always, thank you so much. We will see you guys again in March. Have a great day. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you.